Welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, where each week we're joined by leaders of Guaranteed Irish member businesses to chat about how they sustain jobs, communities and provenance. Supported by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.
Hello and welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast. Hi there, I'm your host Breed O'Connell and I am delighted to welcome Noel Tate from Getthouse Surveys to tell us all about his business, the objectives of the business and the contribution that Getthouse Surveys actually make to local communities and its support for Irish jobs. As you know, this podcast is aimed to shine a light on all Guaranteed Irish businesses across Ireland and how these businesses benefit from their local communities and contribute to their local communities and drive innovation and still manage to stay competitive in a global marketplace. You are very welcome, Noel. Delighted
Thank
to you,
have Reed. You. Thanks, very happy to be here.
Now, Getthouse Survey. In a nutshell, yep. Tell us what it does.
Yeah, so to really simplify it, we're a building surveying company and we specialise in pre-purchase surveys. So if you're buying a house, a second-hand house, you'd get a structural survey complete or a building survey, and that's what we do. So we have a team of building surveyors and that's our specialist product. So the surveyor will go out to the house, do a full inspection and produce a report. And the whole idea of the report is that it will fully inform a buyer so that they can either know, okay, I can proceed with confidence, I know there's nothing major wrong with the property, or if there is a number of issues, it lets them make the right decision on whether they need to either reduce their price on the house, whether they need to investigate those issues further, or if there are issues they don't want to take on, they can pull out of the sale at that stage as well.
So you're bringing on another trust factor in the survey that people get in relation to a second-hand house. Yeah?
Yeah.
I have a question for you then. What about new houses?
Yeah, so new houses are, we deal in new houses as well, but they're called a snag list.
Yeah.
So the difference between a new house and a secondhand property is obviously the new house is new and shiny, or should be new and shiny. That's where we come in. So with a snag list, a surveyor will go to the property and they're basically inspecting the quality of the finish first of all.
Yeah.
So if there's a door handle loose, they'll be like, no, it's a new house, that should be fixed. And they produce what's called a snag list. And it's basically a photo and a description of any issue.
I have to ask you, considering recent times in the Mycane scandals, etc., would the surveyor see something as deep as that if it's well covered over? And how does one, you hear about horror stories of pyrite and everything. How deep does the surveyor go? So for the potential buyer, including for new properties, work out that.
Yeah, so, well, it's different for both new and second-hand properties. So I'll start with new properties, first of all. So, there's always been standards of building in place, but unfortunately we know through the pyrite scandal, through the mica scandal, that had slipped over, depending on the years, for the individual scandals, that those standards had slipped and defective materials got into the mills, depending on how many people
use shortcuts, let's call it what it was, and really did people an injustice.
It really did, yeah. And we've actually dozens and dozens of customers we spoke to who have been impacted
victims,
by this over the last few years as well. So I've kind of spoke to people firsthand as well, and it's absolutely heartbreaking to see what people go through. But now what should happen with a new build is any materials that are used, they should be tested at there's certain levels of testing. So as the materials are being extracted and turned into building materials or being processed down into building materials, the companies who produce the materials, so the quarries and so on, will be responsible for doing testing. And there's a government agency responsible for enforcing that now.
Okay.
So any materials.
So which government agency is that?
It is there's the Pyrite Remediation Scheme or Remediation Board, I should say, and then there's a similar one from Mica as well.
Okay, so not to go into the detail, people can check that out. If a customer comes to you and they get a survey, they commission a survey, will your surveyor check those checks, if you like, that those certs are in place?
Yes, so they're depending on the build, they're advising what certs should be there. So for a new build, for example, there's a certain list of certificates of compliance with building regulation that should be in place, and certificates of compliance with planning permission as well that should be in place, and they'll advise which ones should be there.
Yeah.
And then the solicitor will make sure that those correct documents are in place, and if they want a surveyor to review them, we'll review them as well and make sure they're correct. And for new builds, that's really, without drilling into the walls and taking samples and sending off for testing, that's really what you're relying on. And then you have your guarantees in place as well, your home bond guarantee, that should be valid for 10 years as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those particular guarantees, there was cases where they didn't cover some of the instances in the past, so you'd want your solicitor to review them and make sure that you know exactly what's covered in the guarantee with a new build.
So buyer beware, be it home, new or second hand, to ask the right questions of the surveyor and to ask the right questions of the surveyor to ask for the solicitor to ask. So to keep going back until we get the provenance, the origin of the materials used.
That's it. And it's with new, it's the buyer beware is more so at secondhand properties, because a secondhand property, once you sign the contracts, it's yours and in the exact condition it stands. So if the roof is about to collapse, it doesn't matter. You have no comeback to the person who you bought it off. Whereas with a new build, you would.
Okay.
So if a year after moving into a new build, you discover the roof is built wrong, or there's part of the roof is collapsing, you're covered. So there's
buyer beware is definitely more covered. Is by home bond you're covered?
All new builders should have a home bond guarantee with the properties,
I think that's really important information we're just after discussing, because I think when somebody's buying a new house for the first time, or a second-hand house is their first house. Very often, all of us, we don't have a clue. We like the way they've done up their kitchen, and it's like we fall in love with that bit, and we like the space out the back, and we like that there's a nice neighbourhood, etc. We don't think about the actual structure, which when that comes down, your world falls apart and your family's at risk of losing everything.
And it's not even just the Pyrd and the Mica scheme, even the apartment blocks in Dublin that were affected by, they didn't have the right fire cladding in place. People had to move out of those properties for, I think in some cases, it was over 6 months while it was stripped right back to the block work and then rebuilt out. So even though the remediation work was done, it's still a massive inconvenience to your family. And I have four kids at home. I don't know what we'd do if we had to move out of our house for 6 months.
It's too much.
It's a terrifying thought. So the fact that there's more emphasis on this now after all these scandals, it's a good thing. There's obviously still more you can do, but it's on the right path to getting where it should, I suppose.
Okay, so gethousesurvey.ie was set up how long ago, Noel?
So we turned on the website in November 2018, so just over 5 years ago now.
Okay, so how's it going for you?
It's going pretty well. So the first 4 years, we basically ran it part-time, myself and my business partner, a friend. We basically ran it part-time for the first 4 years. And then I had an opportunity to leave one of the tech companies I was working in at the time and go in full-time to the business. And we crunched all the numbers. We said, right, can this support me full-time? Then it was last March I started full time in the business.
Great.
So since last March, I've been full time in the business, and then Owen is going to be joining me in about two to three months' time, I think, full time as well. And we've also got a few part time people helping us out as well. That's in the office, and at the moment we have 3 full time surveyors that are on the road as well.
Brilliant.
And we have a fabulous network of surveyors we partner with as well all over the country that we contract work out to as well. Yeah,
brilliant. So the idea and the inspiration from it came from what?
So we had both bought houses in I was going through the process in 2018, and then Owen had bought in 2018. I bought very early 2019, and we both kept looking at each other and saying, this is painful and stressful, and it was causing arguments at home over silly little things, and it's all just to do with the stress of the house buying process. And we both worked in tech. I'd over a decade in product management, working for various tech companies, Irish tech companies and US tech companies. And Owen had a similar background as well. And we said, there must be some product we can do here. And how we focus on the building surveying part is, Owen's dad was actually a surveyor, and he'd been surveying properties for 30 years. So out of all the stressful pieces of the process for us, the only part that went smoothly was the surveying piece, because we knew Owen's dad, Paul. He surveyed our houses for us. And so we thought, okay, that was seamless and stressful. And Paul's a really down-to-earth guy, and he explains things very well. And we thought, okay, that was fine. And then when we spoke to other people, we realized that they found that part of the process a nightmare. And we thought, okay, we've been in here. We understand this part of the process. We've got our expert. We know how to build an online product, and we know how to build processes for businesses that can simplify things. So there must be some kind of business model we can put here. So we spent, it was about 2 months of weekends trying to map out all the business flows, the entire process of how it works from the customer point of view, from the surveyor point of view, and we tried to put together a product. And initially it was contracting to work to Owen's dad, and then we brought more and more surveyors on board, and then as of last year we started to hire surveyors directly.
It
slowly grew for the first 4 years, but the last year in particular it's really taken off.
So I'd have to beg the question, we're killed from hearing every day on the news that there isn't enough houses being built. So is there enough business for new housing surveying to be done on your space?
It's definitely competitive, and it's actually one of the biggest challenges over the last year was the cost of advertising, because all the companies are pumping lots of money into Google ads, and that's driving up the cost for everybody. So it's definitely competitive. The and our business depends on the number of houses being sold, not the price. The price is kind of irrelevant to us, the price of the house. It's just the number of the volume of houses being sold. So that's where our business comes from. So for secondhand properties, the supply definitely started to dry up towards the second half of last year. But the good news is there was a record number of new builds coming online last year. There was between 30 and 35,000 new builds, I think. And it looks like we're going to beat that number again this year. So that means we have the building surveying side for pre-purchase surveys for secondhand properties, but we've also got the snag list side of the business as well. So although one was kind of not dropping much, but definitely tightening up, the snag list side was taking off as well. It meant we could kind of focus a little bit more on snag list, get just more of that business in. Our predominant business is still pre-purchase surveys for secondhand properties, but the snag list have definitely contributed to the overall number of sales we get.
Is it a business model that you've done? It's obviously a booking online system. Is it a model that could be rolled out and used in the UK and other markets?
It is, yeah. And we've actually reached out to a few companies in the UK. We do have a gethousesurvey.co.uk that just operates in Northern Ireland at the moment.
Okay.
And we had dipped our toe into the UK market just to kind of see what it was like. And around Liverpool and Manchester, we'd done kind of a trial run there a few years ago. And we learned it's a very different landscape.
Yeah.
So the building surveying landscape is very different there. So we kind of peeled back on that and we're trying to figure out how we can go
about it again. And of course, different regs and everything,
different regulations. There's different regulations. RICS, or that's the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors in the UK, works slightly differently to how the SCSI works in Ireland.
Mm.
So they're both the same idea, both organisations, but RICS is kind of more... I suppose it's more regulated the way you have to approach it. And although we had the right surveyors on board, the whole process we weren't as familiar with as the Irish model. So we decided, okay, we'll peel back on that for now. We still do Northern Ireland, but we'll just double down and focus on our .ie site and try to get that to where it can support us and maybe give us a bit more of a springboard for the UK in a few years.
Okay, and in terms of housing associations and the SCSI, the Surveyor Chartered Association of Ireland, are they supportive and are they in your supply chain?
Yes, they're supportive in that anytime I've reached out to them, they've been really helpful. So one of the things we wanted to really make sure that we done was, first of all, that the people we were getting on board were
SCSI,
they were registered with them, properly accredited, had the experience and so on. So Tara on our team reached out to him and I lost track of the amount of time she talked to them just to really understand how all that worked, and they were more than helpful. We took up far more of their time than I think they thought they were going to give us. And then even last year when we started to hire building surveyors directly, one of the things I wanted to do was understand, right, how can we have a quality control process in-house? Because if you have surveyors out on the road all the time and they're just doing their own surveys, sometimes you can kind of like lose control of the quality if they're not up to standard. Now, thankfully, our guys have been. But I reached out to the SCSI and I just asked, look, what do other companies do around their quality control and how do they make sure that the surveys that they're producing are up to the right standard? And they're a huge help with that. And they jumped on
and
a couple of
calls. And have you implemented a quality control system now for GetHouse Survey?
Yeah, it's actually one of the things that we've done a lot of work on over the last year. So at least every month to 2 months, our surveyors sit down, we'll grab breakfast somewhere, usually just in the office, and they'll just go through the surveys that they've done over the last few months, and or they'll pick a selection of them, and they'll look at all the issues they've identified, and they'll try to understand, right, I approached that this way, you've done it slightly differently, what's best for the customer, or what's the most straightforward for the customer, or useful for the customer. And we use that to constantly improve and build on the quality of our product.
And obviously the premise of your business is to simplify the process of hiring a surveyor. Has that been the case, and what's the feedback from the customer?
So I'm the type of person who, I don't like speaking on the phone to people. If I can just do everything online, that's my ball game. I love that.
You and the entire generation.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've simplified the online booking process, so you can go on and book in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And because we've built up a good brand now, and we've over 200 5-star reviews, I think, at this stage. So we have that good brand recognition, so people trust us enough to go and book and pay online. And for about 50% of our customers, they choose not to contact us. Now, we'll reach out to them afterwards to make sure everything went okay, but they never reach out to us, and they love that. They can just go online, book, we assign them a surveyor, and we built this piece of technology called a survey tracker. And it's like, have you ever ordered a pizza with Domino's and you have the app and it tells you, okay, the pizza's in the oven now, and now the pizza's being cut up and boxed, and now the driver has them and he's on the way to you. That's what it's like. We built a survey tracker and it says, okay, we've received your booking and we've assigned your survey to Aidan, and it gives you Aidan's background. Then it says Aidan's got the survey booked in for Thursday the 24th at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. Very personable.
Yeah, and it shows them the entire process. So because we're proactively updating them, they don't have to go chasing us for updates, and they absolutely love it. And because those customers don't have to contact us, the ones that don't want to talk to us, it means the customers who do want to talk to us, we have more time for them.
That's right.
And so I can spend as much time as I want talking to customers. I can spend an hour on the phone to a customer. I can spend a minute, whatever they
need. So what are they saying to you with the feedback?
Well, the main feedback is they love the process. And then the survey template we've designed. So what we worked on, it must be 3 years ago now, for our survey template, we took the SESI template and we took the RICS template from the UK, and we took really the best parts of both of them. And that's a template we work to. So it's a pretty advanced template. It's really crystal clear for the house buyers as to what issues are urgent and then what issues are just kind of advisory. And so once they get the report, they don't have to scan through it and spend hours and hours and hours. The most urgent issues are very clear to them, and then they can go through the rest of the report. And the whole idea is it's letting them build up the confidence so that they're not still nervous when they're signing the contracts. They know, okay, there might be 5 or 6 smaller issues, but they're not urgent. They're not going to be costly. They're not things I have to worry about. So I can go and sign those contracts with confidence. And then if they are urgent issues, it's very clear to them as well. So they'll know, okay, this roof might need to be replaced in a few years. That's very common in flat roofs. Maybe there's a structural crack in the side that just needs further investigation, and it could potentially be something serious. And it gives them the information they need to be able to either pull out of the sale or, as I said, sign the contracts.
I'm going to ask you a question there. So when you get that in your report, this may need further information. Do you put a link into where they can get the further information? Engineers, what's the next step for the poor user?
Yeah, it depends on the issue. So the building surveyor will always give a recommended course of action.
Right.
A lot of the time they'll be able to diagnose the issue themselves and give a course of action. Sometimes if it's not clear what the source of the defect is, they'll recommend a further investigation, and we'll always point people in the right direction for that as well. And over the years, that's one of the things we've had to do, is get used to, okay, what companies around Ireland, remember we cover every county in Ireland, so we need to know people all over the country. So what companies are trustworthy as well that we can point people in the right direction of, because we don't want to be sending people to companies that aren't up to standard. So we're building this kind of catalogue of companies that we can point people to as well. So we'll always point somebody in the right direction. And even when people contact us and they're looking for a service that maybe we don't provide, because we've got this kind of big list now, I can always say, look, we don't provide that service, but here's a couple of guys who can
do this. So the big question then, I suppose, Noel, is instead of going to my traditional quantity surveyor, building surveyor, why would I go to Getthouse Survey? Are you cheaper?
No, we're not cheaper, and we're not the cheapest. We're definitely not the most expensive either. So we actually done a big pricing exercise last year, and I think it was over 80 different surveyors around the country we got prices of, and we're slightly higher than average.
Right.
And we wanted to make sure that our price was positioned well. And if you shop around, you'll get an independent surveyor, one man show, who can do it cheaper. But when you take into account, first of all, the level of detail in our survey, the amount of detail that the surveyor puts into the survey, the experience of our surveyors, and then the quality of the service, we have all that wrapped in. We think, even though we're not the cheapest, we're definitely one of the best value in the country. So for our overall product, we offer the best value. And again, that ties back to the quality control that we've put in place over the years, the template that we designed, that we designed out, taking the best of a few different models and making that into a template that's really tailored for the Irish house buyer.
I really like it. So it makes life very easy when you just do it online. That's probably the thing that attracts me the most, listening to you.
A lot of people just like that part.
In terms of 7 people going to be working there this year, am I right in saying that?
Yeah, we've 6 PAY employees at the moment, and we have 2 roles open for 2 new surveyors.
Okay,
so hopefully 8 by the end of the year, and then we'll also be potentially hiring another admin person in the office. Well, give me a bit of a break.
Yeah, of course.
Free up some of my time.
So it's a nice growing small business. Yeah. So what are the plans for the next 12 to 18 months then?
So next 12 to 18 months, we are going to try to double down on the snag list
business,
because again, last year was a record number of new builds coming online. It's going to be the same going into this year. And and we should, we're still way behind the supply we need in the country. So that should continue to grow for a number of years. So there's definitely opportunity there. Now, there's a lot of, a huge amount of snagging companies around the country, but we've built this brand now. So there's definitely that business there. There's a few changes potentially coming down the line to the house buying process in Ireland as well. So there's a piece of legislation before the Dáil at the moment, or it's in the stage two of Dáil at the moment. I actually watched one of the proceedings on it a few months ago, which was one of the most boring and interesting things I've ever seen at the same time, called the Seller's Legal Pack for Buyers. And right now, if you're selling a house, say I'm selling a house and I want to put my house on the market, I can just put my house on the market. The only thing I need is a BEOR cert. Then if somebody goes sale agreed, their solicitor will reach out to my solicitor and I'll say, can we get this cert? Can we get this cert? Can we get a certificate of identity? There is a conservatory put out the back. Can you get a certificate of exemption for that? And it's like this back and forth between solicitors. And if the house is in probate, the vendor doesn't have to say that unless until you ask. And it's a long drawn out process. And as a result, sale agreed can sometimes go on for months and months and months. Over 6 months of probate is involved. And if there's a cert missing, sales can fall through. And it's frustrating for all parties, for the buyers, for the sellers, for the estate agents, for the solicitors. So the Seller's Legal Pack for Buyers Bill would mean that before a house goes for sale, you have to go through a checklist and have all of these certs in place. So if the house is built after 1963, it has to have its certificate of compliance with planning, has to have its certificate of compliance with building regulations. If it has a, an attic conversion, it has to have the correct certificates for that and a few other elements as well. But it means they'll all be in place before the property can be listed for sale. So we've been looking at this and we've been trying to figure out, okay, all of these certificates, our guys are qualified to do these. So can we, once this becomes legislation, can we be in a position where we can offer this as a package to, you know, we could partner with solicitors or whoever in the process. So we want to have that in place. So if that does become legislation, and it, some form of it will, it might not be everything that's in the proposed legislation at the moment, it might be a smaller part, but whatever gets through and becomes legislation either the end of this year or next year, we want to be in a position to offer that as a product as well.
And will that expedite the process for people? Yeah, I'd imagine it would.
It should do, because the theory is everything that's needed for a solicitor to qualify the title should be in place goes for sale.
And so if you can expedite it, that's a real area for growth there.
Yeah, so it could potentially cut down on the amount of time a property is in sale agreed from months and months and months down to weeks. That's the idea behind it. Now, of course, there'll be teething problems like any big change to the process. So we're keeping an eye on that as well. And if that does, I think there's an appetite from the way the TDs have been talking about it. There does seem to be an appetite, and there's definitely a few pressure groups in the industry as well, putting a bit of weight behind it. So if that comes through, that's one of the big areas we see. There's a opportunity here for growth as well.
And the best to look and break in there. In terms of members of Guaranteed Irish, how has that been, or has it been of help to the business?
So it has actually. Do you know what it's? Owen came to me this I think the start of last year, and he said, will we sign up for Guaranteed Irish? I said, what's the point? It's just, and he explained it to me, and he reached out to somebody on the team here, and he said, these are the benefits we get, and then, you know, we've got, you know, they can get us involved in this, they can get us involved in that, we can get discounts here, whatever. I said, okay, let's just do it. So we filled out the application, we went through the process. And almost straight away, other companies started reaching out to us who are on the Guaranteed Irish Register.
Brilliant.
And some of them just reach out and say, oh, welcome aboard. Others just reach out and say, hey, welcome aboard. By the way, we give discounts to other Guaranteed Irish members. So there's a printing company we found for that. And we've just got all these kind of like little kind of helps along the way from that. And then we put the logo on the website as well, and we have it on some of our social media posts. And I'm, because of my product management background, I track everything on our website. I like to see, okay, where are people clicking? What do they do? And people actually do click the logo.
Isn't that interesting?
To take it. And we just have a blog post just about why we joined and what our reason behind joining.
And of course, Guaranteed Irish House is the ideal place for you to sit there, because there's so many opportunities of builders and, you know, your fellow compadres in that space in terms of designing a house with Irish-based materials using Irish services. So hopefully you'll benefit from that.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies in there.
Yeah, so the very best to look, Noel. It's been really interesting talking to you. Founder, or co-founder, I assume, Noel Tate from gethousesurveys.ie. Please look out for them. If you're buying a house, a second-hand house or if you're thinking about purchasing a new build, and if it's your first house in particular, all the help you can get, I would advise you to take it and make sure you are going in fully informed with your big, probably the biggest purchase of your life. So very best of luck to you, Noel, and I hope the business goes from strength to strength.
Thank you very much, Bridget.
Please like, share and review this programme, and if you found it interesting on the platform you're listening to right now, make sure you do support it with others, because that's the idea of Guaranteed Irish. We support other businesses in Ireland who support jobs and their communities and contribute to our Irish economy. Remember, if you feel your business can benefit from networking with like-minded businesses here in Ireland, contact guaranteedirish.ie for more information. In the meantime, take care, enjoy the rest of the week, and look out for the G as you go.
The Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, sponsored by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.